You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation, and welcome to your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Himalaya. My name is David Ermel. I'm here within one of the rooms somewhere located in the America Airlines Arena. It's probably the quietest place I could find. And even then, you're still liable to hear some background noise, maybe even a little bit of an echo. But I wanted to make sure I, at the very least, try to get out a podcast tonight recapping Miami's 137-106 victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. Miami hosted the Sixers on Monday night, and it started like a pretty close game. Actually, Miami had a four-point lead going into the halftime period, and then they just blew the doors open in the second half. It's pretty exciting to see, actually, in person, because they wound up scoring 81 points in the third and fourth quarter, blowing out Philadelphia by a pretty wide margin there. Jimmy Butler was the story of the game, finishing with 38 points on 14 of 20 shooting, 8 of 8 from the line. Also added 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. But he was very, very aggressive from the start. It looked like he was definitely taking an added pleasure in trying to score on the 76ers, going up against Ben Simmons for most of the night. He was really aggressive in getting his shot, going to the rim at first, and then kind of spacing the floor out a little bit more as the time went on. He was very comfortable shooting from long range, finished 2 of 2 from three-point range, something he has not done in weeks, been able to convert a three-point shot. But he seemed like he was healthy, engaged, and again, absolutely trying to prove a point against the Sixers, a team that let him go over the summer. And as far as the overall victory is concerned, one of the recurring themes was that Miami was looking to make a statement because they're going to be going on a six-game road trip, 5 games of which are taking place before the All-Star break over the next week and a half. And so they've got a tough challenge up ahead, but wanted to make sure that they went on the road with a good sense of victory. They won against Orlando on Saturday night, closed out against Philadelphia, a team that's struggling, particularly struggling from the road. They are well below 500 on the road. They have the best home record in the NBA at this point, but on the road, they're a completely different team. Brett Brown asked about it, the Sixers head coach. He talked about it before the game. He didn't really have much of an answer other than to say that they are not the team that they're supposed to be, particularly defensively. They just don't have the same kind of level of engagement on the road as they do at home. And so that was pretty evident as they just kind of fell apart in the second half. A lot of it was because Miami was doing so much to try and limit what the Sixers were able to do offensively, but they had no response and they kind of just rolled over and died in the second half. It was pretty interesting to see how it played out. Embiid had a huge night. Joel Embiid finished with 29 points and 9 of 14 shooting. He wasn't, I would say, as aggressive as he could have been. He did have some of these points in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter when it seemed like Miami was well on their way to an easy victory. So I can't give a credit. I can't give him a lot of credit for scoring these points at a time during the game when it actually mattered. But either way, he did wind up having a pretty productive night overall. Ben Simmons finished with 16 points. Al Horford, 6 points. Josh Richardson, of course, the former Heat player, currently out with an injury, and so he did not play. Tobias Harris finished 3 of 12 from the field for just 6 points and 0 of 6 from three-point range. I'm not sure if Miami made a concerted effort to limit Harris or if Harris just kind of struggled from the field a little bit, but either way, he was a non-factor in the game. Some unfortunate news for Miami. Halfway through, I believe, the third quarter, Myers Leonard rolled his ankle pretty badly. He was going up for a rebound or contesting a shot, I can't recall which exactly, and landed on Joel Embiid's foot. Then his ankle rolled, I think it was his left ankle, and it rolled pretty severely, and it looked like he is going to be missing some time. I'm not quite sure, but what I've heard from around the arena is that an MRI has been scheduled for Tuesday morning to exactly determine how much time he may need and the extent of the injury. I can assume that he'll probably miss at least a game or two, but we never know with a hammer. He's pretty durable, and hopefully he'll bounce back pretty easily because he is a factor for Miami, clearly. He's the starting center, and he was matching up somewhat well with Joel Embiid. He's a difficult matchup for almost any center, but Myers certainly held his own for as long as he could. Tyler Herro also missed most of the game, experiencing what Eric Spoelstra called after the game as a strain an ankle strain below his ankle. Somewhat weird terminology there. He wasn't quite clear. Some foot soreness is what we've been told is the official reason, but maybe perhaps a sprain of some kind. And we don't have any kind of clear indication as to when or if he'll miss any time. And he was in the locker room. He looked pretty easy, was moving around well, didn't seem sore. Myers was not available. So I would imagine that Myers' injury is far more extensive, and like as I said, he'll probably miss some time. Tyler looks like he'll bounce back pretty easily, probably partly because of the benefit of being 20 years old, and perhaps the extent is not as severe as it was for Myers. But overall, just a very solid game. Bam Adebayo also had a pretty impressive night, 18 points on 8 of 15 shooting, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, almost a triple-double, so to go along with one steal. And he was a great factor against Joel Embiid. Seemed like he was doing very well. Myers was matching up with Embiid in the first quarter, and then Bam took over, and it just, he was fronting well. He was always mobile. He was always doing what he could to challenge the pass going into Embiid, so it wouldn't be quite as easy. And he's physical and fast enough to kind of stay there and move. And so a lot of what Embiid does is just kind of put his hands on an opponent, just push down, push off in order to clear space and allow him to get to the rim. Or if he's feeling comfortable with his jump shot, he'll face up to the basket and kind of assess whether or not he needs to take a step back or at least just let it fly. He's so tall and it's so long that he can get that shot over almost any defender, particularly a guy like Adebayo, who is somewhat shorter than he is. But Bam is able to, again, contain him a little bit with his speed and overall athleticism, and he did a fantastic job against Embiid tonight. So a big win for Miami. They improved to 34-15, 22-3 at home, continue to stay within the top of the Eastern Conference standings. And this was a pretty key game for them because if there's a tiebreaker late in the season, these kinds of victories, especially one where Miami has a 3-1 advantage over the Philadelphia 76ers, it seems like they would have a pretty clear advantage and something that might be able to propel them into home court advantage. Coming up next, I'll get into the stats and key players of the game. You're listening to Locked On Heat. So with the trade deadline coming up in just a few days, we want to advertise something that is going to be a special promotion for our listeners. You can pre-bomb the Woj Bomb. You win 2 tickets to see your favorite team in their home arena by guessing any NBA trade perfectly before it happens. You pre-bomb the Woj Bomb. Go to any of the Locked On NBA accounts on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You post the trade you think it will happen on any one of those social media accounts. You tag 5 people with your trade in your post, and if you're right, then you have a chance to win 2 tickets to see your favorite team play in their home arena. Trades will be evaluated based on players and picks, not cash. If multiple people win, the first person with the correct trade is the winner. One winner will be chosen across all Locked On and social accounts, and if no one guesses the exact trade, the winner will be the one closest to the pin. So go now and pre-bomb the Woj Bomb with your trade deadline trade at LockedOnNBA.net. So I wanted to get into a couple of things that are looming large for the Heat this week. If you can tell from the lack of background noise, I'm actually recording this segment the following day. I was recording that first part of the show from deep within the bowels of the American Airlines Arena, and unfortunately, a building of that age and that size and with all the kind of electrical equipment that they have there, you're bound to find rooms that invariably have some kind of buzzing electric sound in the background. And so I actually had to record the Locked On NBA national show and was not able to finish up the Heat show. So now I'm taking the time the next day in order to provide a more complete show for you. So thank you for sticking with us, and hopefully this show is exactly what you're looking for. But as far as the week ahead for the Heat, it's going to be a very difficult, I think, a turning point for this year, to be honest with you, because as much success as Miami has had so far, they might be facing their toughest challenge ahead, which is both the upcoming 6-game road trip, which is actually 5 games prior to the All-Star break, and then the first game after the All-Star break in Atlanta, before coming back to Miami to host Dwayne Wade and his jersey retirement ceremony that weekend of the 22nd through 24th, I believe. But either way, with the road trip looming ahead, that changes, well, that could be what defines this Heat season. Obviously, the Heat are not as good at home. I'm saying not as good on the road as they are at home. They are at the 500 mark, if I'm not mistaken. So not quite at the same level as far as their winning and the strength of their overall play. It's something that's improved during this half of the season. It's gotten better over the last 40-something games. But Miami still struggles a little bit on the road. They don't have the same kind of energy. Look, most teams are better at home than they are on the road. It's very rare that you'll find the inverse. But the point is, Miami goes up and faces some legitimately tough challenges. Now, as far as the road trip is concerned, you know, the reason why it's such a defining point is because you're facing some tough teams there. You're facing the Clippers, which already beat Miami at home. The Clippers obviously are still a title contending team. And then you go on to face the Sacramento Kings and the Portland Trailblazers on February 9th, and they're playing at a very high level. The following day, you've got a back-to-back against the Golden State Warriors, and while the Warriors are not as good as they've been in the past, clearly any team on the second night of a back-to-back is going to be a challenge, especially when it's on the road. And then you wrap up the road trip against a very good Utah Jazz team that might be trying to incorporate Mike Conley Jr. back into the lineup, and so it's going to be, they might be, well, Miami embarrassed them last time, so I think the Jazz is going to be looking for a little bit of revenge. And if you recall that matchup, Joe Ingles went off for, 20-something points. He was shooting very well, and it was a very tightly contested game, and Tyler Hero wound up having some very big moments against Donovan Mitchell. And so, you know, Mitchell, the all-star out in the Western Conference, is absolutely going to try and take a little measure of revenge against Hero there. So these things all mean a lot. And look, we say this because, you know, good teams have to win on the road, so we kind of take it for granted a little bit. But talking to players in the locker room last night, it's clear that this is important for them. Every one of them acknowledged, and maybe it's just kind of media speak, and maybe they were just delivering the easy, canned answer. But the reality is that they understand that there's something at stake here. A road trip is an incredible opportunity, and consider it just from a human perspective. You're going on the road. You're leaving your family. You're leaving the comforts of your home. You're traveling on the road for a couple of weeks while you go from hotel to hotel to go to shoot-arounds at every city. And they could provide a real bonding experience, too. I think a lot of teams throughout NBA history have spoken about the bonding impact of a road trip where you can go to movies while you're in Sacramento. There's nothing else to do out there, you know, a lot of players will say. And so you go to a movie. You go to an escape room, you go and engage in some kind of activity, paintball, who knows, whatever it might be. And so this is a good opportunity to kind of grow as a team. And this team already has such good chemistry. It bodes well for how Miami will be able to respond on the road trip. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be able to overcome the tough competition they'll face. And so that is going to absolutely be a challenge for this team. And again, a pivotal point there. And so, you know, talking to Jimmy Butler, talking to Goran and Kelly Olynyk and everybody in that locker room, they were very aware of the fact that coupled with the win on Saturday night against the Orlando Magic, Monday's win against a tough rival in Philadelphia was absolutely key for setting the tone for what this team is looking like as they go on to the road trip and then entering the All-Star break. The All-Star break, while it's past the midway point, is often viewed as, it's a reset button. It's often viewed as an opportunity to kind of take stock in what your team is and how you want to move forward for the second half of the season, although it's not quite the second half. But either way, they're looking at this as an incredible opportunity, and I think that's why it's so important. And the other thing that's really looming large for Miami this week is clearly the trade deadline. Just a few days away now, as we're recording this, it's actually, I want to say, less than 72 hours away. And it's a huge point for Miami, a huge pivotal point here, because it really defines, and I wrote about this for Forbes, and if you want to go check out my trade preview, that's fine, but I think the overall point is what I've made before on this show, which is it's going to be a huge thing, a huge determining factor for how this Miami front office views this roster, whether or not they want to go ahead and take the chance and contend for a title this year and potentially sacrifice some chemistry and some of the youthful core that they can build on in later years. And you know, I think a lot of it depends on how the front office has approached this with Jimmy Butler. Even though Jimmy's only been here for a few months, He is the loudest voice there. He is the team star. And I think he has some say in this. I don't think he'd be willing to give up on Tyler Herro because I think he does have a close relationship. And we've heard some reports from Zach Lowe that in order to pry Drew Holiday away from New Orleans, Tyler Herro would have to be moved. I don't buy that. I'm not sure. Yeah, he actually indicates that Herro is not a player that Miami's front office is willing to move. And nor do I think he should be. It's not that I don't like Drew Holiday as a player. I just like Hero's potential and his fit on this team more than anything else. So, you know, you hear about all the different rumors. And this is rumor season as much as anything else. With the deadline just days away, you're hearing talk from almost every team that they're buyers or sellers, that they're going to move X player. But one thing that does change how Miami moves forward as far as the trade deadline is concerned is Myers-Leonard potential injury. So as I'm recording this, no updates whatsoever regarding Leonard's ankle or the severity of it. But, you know, his salary is movable. He's on the last year of a contract. I'd hate for him to be traded away like that because, well, you kind of just grow attached to players as they're in the locker room every day. But at the same time, it is a movable contract. And so you wonder whether or not they would try to take a chance to acquire a big man. I don't believe Clint Capela, which is the biggest name that we're hearing being tossed around as the rumors start to build in momentum, is a likely option for Miami because what Houston's looking for is salary cap space. They're looking to knock some money off of their expected $140 million luxury tax. Miami's also hard capped, and so they can't take back any kind of additional salary whatsoever. I don't see Capela as a fit for Miami right away, although I think he would be perfect as far as a rebounding big man who can roll to the rim. There might be some paint clogging issues because Myers, if nothing else, provides some incredible floor spacing. And so, anyway, I don't see that as a legitimate name, but we're starting to see more and more that a lot of teams are talking. The sense that I'm getting from everybody is that the top teams in the Eastern Conference, and we're looking at 1 through 6 from Milwaukee all the way down to Philadelphia, they're all going to be buyers. Indiana's going to try to acquire somebody. The Philadelphia 76ers are going to look to acquire some shooting. Milwaukee might add a Marcus Morris or a Robert Covington if they can. Either way, everybody's going to try and tweak their roster just a bit so that they can actually contend for a title because the East is fairly wide open. Even the Toronto Raptors, who have won, I believe, 12 straight as of this recording, might look to buy at the trade deadline so that they can bolster their chances to perhaps repeat for a title or at the very least reach the finals. So there's a lot of basketball left to be played, but clearly these things do weigh heavily on this Miami front office as they move forward. And so how Leonard's injury could impact the trade deadline is still yet to be determined, but we'll see whether or not there is a factor there. We'll see whether or not Miami is confident in this roster, whether or not there's a move to be made. So whether Miami's doing their due diligence regardless. They are looking around. They are asking about player X. They've talked to whatever teams they've talked to. And I've mentioned this point on the podcast before. These teams are talking for months. That we hear about it, you know, minutes before the trade deadline, or that Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN drops a Woj bomb minutes before the end of the trade deadline is one thing. These talks have been going on for a long, long time. They ramp up in speed because that's just human nature. But the reality is that they've been going on for quite some time. So we'll hear whether or not they manifest within the next couple of days. And as always, we'll be able to bring you the latest news and we'll break down any kind of trade or non-trade as we move forward. But that's it for right now. We're going to move on to the player and the stat of the game in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. If you've been a listener to this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Heat is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Heat fans just like you. It's been a great season for Miami, but unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Heat fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses, so text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to the number 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. ¶¶ So the player and the stat of the game are next. But first, as always, remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, leave a rating and review. So many people have chimed in about this show and the progress we've been making. And I just appreciate, as always, your comments, your feedback via email or via iTunes. And these kinds of reviews absolutely help. And hopefully I am providing the kind of content that you're looking for. So I appreciate that very much. The numbers reflect that you guys are listening to this show more than ever. And so, and as always, my thanks. But as far as the player and the stat of the game are next, well, clearly the stat of the game, well, that second half offense for Miami, 81 points in the second half, most in franchise history. It's just a monumental explosion on offense. Miami, they looked another level of engagement in the third and fourth quarter. And I also have to say that Philadelphia's defense just collapsed. Brett Brown spoke before the game about what's wrong with Philadelphia when they go on the road. And he attributed a lot of it to their lack of defensive tenacity. And I think that was pretty evident in the second half. They just kind of collapsed there as their shooting faltered. And Miami did give up 106 points. It's not like they were playing the perfect defensive game. They gave up their fair share of points. But Philadelphia's defense is what collapsed. That's what the problem was for the Sixers, is they gave up 137 points in exchange. And so they just kind of fell apart there. And another stat that I saw about last night's game is that their 149 offensive rating is the highest in franchise history. They played as good a game offensively as they possibly could. And a lot of that had to do with Jimmy Butler and his overall performance. And he is clearly the star of the game. He was the GOAT of the game by leaps and bounds. His 38 points, just the way he attacked the basket early on, the way he started to feel more and more comfortable after the game. And I think it's somewhat disingenuous. He said he doesn't really care about his offense, that he doesn't really look to score, that he's not interested in offense, he's not interested in defense, he just wants to win. I don't buy that. I think it's a nice canned response for the media. And I understand and I appreciate what he's trying to say, is that he's trying to, again, put winning above all else. But let's be honest. When he's aggressive, he's better. And when he's aggressive as a scorer, he can take this team to a whole other level than from what we've seen. And when he's scoring at this kind of level, it's just unbelievable. Like, I mean, you cannot understate the kind of impact he had when he was just looking so smooth. And you could start to see him let go a little bit. He didn't talk about that, and he won't talk about it, his shooting struggles over the last few weeks. But I honestly believe that you could kind of start to see him feel a little bit more confident with each shot as he was taking. He started off with a little baseline jumper, then kind of stretched that out a little bit to 15 feet away from the wing, and then moved back further and further, and eventually wound up taking 2 3-pointers and making them both. And you could really see that kind of offense, he's feeling more comfortable, all of a sudden starts taking another level because he becomes a legitimate shooting threat. And hopefully this is the version of Jimmy that we'll see at some points throughout the rest of the season and in the postseason, where it matters most. Because when this team has a legitimate go-to scorer like Jimmy, so much is done easier for Miami's team. Like, I mean, Tyler Hero was able to have a good game. Goran Dragic is able to have a good game. Even when Bam isn't scoring at a high level, he can facilitate. He can do so much. And it's because you have to key in on a guy like Jimmy. And that's with Ben Simmons, an all-NBA defender, guarding him for most of the night. So there's nothing you can do. When Jimmy wants to get to the bucket, he will. When he feels confident in that shot and he can take it comfortably, he will. And that just makes his team so much better, so much more dangerous, and just a really great overall performance from him. And a good trend for Miami going into the long road trip and also moving on for the rest of the season. I wanted to have a scapegoat of the game, but you know what? It was such a positive win. I won't get into it because I think it's important for going in to this road trip, going into the trade deadline, to focus on positivity there. The team wants to be positive. There was a good mood, a good vibe in that locker room, with the exception of Meyer's injury. I think Tyler Hero's injury is going to be a little bit more. He did suffer some soreness there, but he was walking around in the locker room, and I think he'll be okay. So I expect Tyler to be back in the lineup on Wednesday when they face the Clippers. Meyer's not so much. He probably will miss some time. So hopefully he'll bounce back soon and we'll see how Miami approaches the trade deadline. But we'll get to a recap after that Clippers game next. That's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Rommel, signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support. Yeah!
Wrap it up, B.